Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Legal experts continuing to unpack the ramifications of Monday's Supreme Court ruling, giving presidents broad immunity for official acts taken while in office. One question that ABC News chief legal analyst Dan Abrams was asked about, whether a president could be immune if they were paid money to grant someone a pardon.
The court has said, in sending it back, you can't look to the president's motive in assessing a potential crime. So if you can't look to the motive in something like a pardon, you can't say, were they doing this for the wrong reasons, then there's certainly an argument to be made along those lines.
Hurricane Beryl growing into a Category 5 storm, becoming the earliest Cat 5 hurricane to ever develop in the Atlantic. President Biden proposing a rule aimed at addressing excessive heat for construction workers, farm workers, and others who spend most of their time outside. If finalized, it'd require workers to get access to drinking water in a cooling area if the heat index reaches at least 80. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Close to 1.5 million people will drive somewhere in Wisconsin for the 4th of July holiday. The Department of Transportation predicts peak travel times late tomorrow and again late Sunday. Information about traffic, construction, and crashes are on the 511 Wisconsin app or online. 15,000 delegates and other guests descend on Milwaukee in less than 2 weeks. Allison Prangy leads the host committee. She tells WYSN-TV's Up Front she hopes convention-goers leave with a lasting impression.
It's a great city for your family. It's a great place to work. It's an easy place to get around. And we're excited for people to get a chance to experience that.
But not everyone's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that RNC bookings have been disappointing and a failure. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Mississippi River is cresting over the next few days in La Crosse, where the crest will come in at just under 15 feet in moderate flood stage. The river is cresting to the north and to the south. Cresting will last through the weekend. Flooding has closed parts of area parks, including Riverside Park, which is set to host Riverfest. City officials said that Riverfest will go on as planned, with barricades put up to help keep people safe. The National Weather Service says the area could see multiple inches of rain between last night and tonight. The next step in La Crosse's effort to ban camping on public properties will take place in committee. The Judiciary and Administration Committee will take up two ordinance amendments today. The first will change the governing body of the bans on public camping to be the City Council instead of the Public Works Board. The second change will limit camping on city property to 12 hours in any place that camping is not already banned. According to the committee agenda, the proposal will save the city money by not having to clear out established encampments. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers bow to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Colorado Rockies have the worst record in the National League, but last night they beat the Brewers 8-7 in 10 innings. Things got weird in the fifth. Game tied 3-3. Joey Ortiz lays down a bunt and is safe at first, but called out for running outside the base path on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Bunt attempt by Ortiz. Tough play. Gomber missed him. They're going to say that Joey Ortiz is out of the running lane, and he's going to be out. And now Pat Murphy is going to come and argue this play.
Pat Murphy on getting ejected, even though the replay showed it was a bad call at first.
The first base umpire said that he went more than 3 feet away from the player. In my judgment, I felt like he didn't go more than 3 feet away. If there's any uncertainty, go ahead and ask home plate umpire. He took offense to that.
After a tough loss to the Rockies, what's next? Joey Ortiz.
Go win some ball games. There's not much to it.
That's Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today into this evening. Our high today, 76, with wind out of the south at 15 to 25. The wind will back off a bit by later this afternoon. Tonight, clearing, our low 63. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday is my birthday, the big 6-0. What are we doing on the show? Whatever I feel like, because I'm old and I can do whatever I want.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are really, you know, talking about some really intriguing and I think eye-opening decisions that have been made by the United States Supreme Court recently. And Sandy, if you're just joining us, at the beginning of the show, laid out some information about where we are headed, what has happened in that, you know, the nation that we've known and loved, things have changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Justice Sotomayor, when she closed her dissent, said, in fear of democracy. And I do think that she and the dissenters recognize that the Supreme Court and what's happened to in the decisions that have made, you know, Citizens United, which created dark money in many ways and put a great deal more power into the hands of those with political power, into the hands of those with money. And then we have the decisions relating to setting maps and voting maps and the extent to which affirmative action could be used. We've just had a very active Supreme Court that's been retracing and retracting many things that were in place with government. But now the assault on the administrative agencies is very direct. And so that has a great deal of potential to change the way our government can act and what it can do and what it will do. And then we also just have a strategies that have been used to paralyze government, paralyze the legislative, the Congress, for instance, so that, you know, a master of strategy like Biden has managed to get some things done, infrastructure, which is pretty much a pork barrel kind of thing that can be bipartisan, then some emergency things that were done in response to recession and COVID, but Congress is paralyzed. And the courts have been taking on to themselves a great deal more power. The courts, meanwhile, have been inhabited now by an increasingly conservative cadre of judges. And we just end up with government that has a far different flavor or might have a far different flavor tomorrow than it had in the government that we've got used to.
All right, let's go back to Dave. Dave, quickly.
All right, so I was going to finish up really quickly with you, Sandy. I guess you didn't read what was in Political on Sunday with Bill Cassidy, top Republican education committee person. And what he did was, and what Political wrote about this just 2 days ago, with the Chevron Doctrine being repealed, essentially Cassidy accusing the Education Department of flagrantly and repeatedly violating the law by crafting policy without authorization from Congress. So if you read in addition to that. So,
Dave, let me just interrupt you. Every rule that gets enacted gets adjudicated. Okay. I practice law in the administrative area. I took to court many, many rules that were enacted in an effort to test the extent to which they were validly enacted based on underlying law and authorizing law. That's part of the balance of power, and it's been in place forever. The question is, whether the act was properly authorized or not. Chevron created some presumptions. I thought many of the presumptions it created were necessary because it said basically that the agency needed to be listened to with respect to its expertise and how it determined the gaps in the law needed to be filled. It wasn't an absolute presumption, okay? It could be overcome. It just said that there was a presumption, and they've removed that presumption. My fear is that it has done a great deal to erode the notion of primary jurisdiction, which basically requires that an agency act first before a court gets called into play with respect to agency action. So, you know, this is pretty heady stuff in terms of it being technical, but there is no question that the repeal and the language of the repeal of the Chevron doctrine is aimed at making it much harder for agencies to exercise expertise in the implementation of laws. And I would simply say that based on that language, it would have been far harder for the EPA to implement the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act than it would be far harder to do that now than it was then when they implemented it. And incidentally, they implemented most of it before Chevron. My fear is that the repeal of Chevron goes further than simply repealing Chevron.
All right, let's go to Sherry from Horicon. Good morning to you, Sherry. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
Hi, guys. I'm going to ask a question that is kind of silly, I guess. But
no question is silly. No question is silly.
Okay. Why can't President Biden arrest Trump as a clear and present danger, get rid of the insurrectionists that are in the Senate and the Congress, and get rid of the Supreme Court and put in new ones that have a time limit?
You want him to be the king, right?
Well, that's that would be taking on king-like powers beyond immunity. The monarchical power that's created by the decision relating to immunity simply puts him above the law. It doesn't allow him to create new laws, happily. That would be going way too far. And I think there would be no basis for the Supreme Court to do that. But some wishful thinking, maybe, on your behalf. But I don't think it's possible.
Hey, Sherry, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for waiting. Let's go to CJ. CJ, good morning. You say what?
Well, thank you, Earl and Sandy, for taking my call. You know, and as far as Happy Civil Rights Day, 81% of the Republicans voted for it, only 67 of the Democrats.
We're talking about Republicans, you know, of today and Democrats of today. CJ, are you saying they're one and the same?
No, they both changed. The Democrats right now are mad that the Supreme Court is making judicial decisions, not political. And I think you had a previous caller, I think his name was Mike, that they aren't reading the people. No, that's not the Supreme Court. They're supposed to read the law. So I get it why you're upset and you can't win in the court. But you guys, I feel like Paul Harvey, because you never really tell the whole story. Not once have I heard you, Sandy, and I challenge you to a debate anywhere, anytime, publicly or just for lunch. But you never once have said that it's been sent down to a lower court to decide what is.
Well, here's what the case decided. Yes, they did remand it down to the lower court, but they gave the lower court instructions. The decision says basically that the official conduct shall include, and then official conduct included actions in terms of who is being talked to. So is it the Attorney General? If it's an official action that involves conversations with other officials, then it is immune. And so what they've sent down to the lower court is instructions to figure out what in the allegations in the lawsuit, which they relate to. Do they relate to official conduct or do they not relate to official conduct? So I don't think we have an argument here. I just think that the instructions that they're giving and the decision they're making with respect to immunity has been defined. It hasn't defined it with respect to the facts because the Supreme Court is not a fact-finding court, okay? The Supreme Court makes decisions based on records of facts that are presented to it, but only in very particular circumstances does the Supreme Court decide facts itself. So they send it back down to the lower court to decide the facts associated with what kind of conduct it was, but they've given them very specific instructions.
Well, thank God for that. So, finally, you talked about it. You know, and when I hear you gentlemen speak of democracy, and he's going to attack his political foes, and maybe keep him off the ballot in certain states. Oh, no.
Who said that?
That was Joe Biden already.
No, who said that, CJ, on this program? Where'd you hear that? Nobody said that.
Didn't the Democrats try to keep Trump off of the Colorado ballot, Earl? Yes, they did.
Thank you very much for the call. I would just say this before we go back to the phone line. It clearly, all of these decisions that are made really on a level that unless, for the most part, you're educated in the manner that you are in, that it's legalese involved in all these decisions that are rendered from the Supreme Court. And so it's kind of a hard thing to put it in layman's language. You do a good job of that, but they're very technical decisions that have been made. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, the courts, you know, the whole strategy that's been implemented on the conservative side has involved a great deal of technical moves. It's been a chess game, and a lot of people don't know the moves of the various chess pieces. And they've been very effective, okay? And we're now seeing the effect as it accumulates. And, you know, my position is we end up with a government that operates, and we end up with some form of something we call a democracy as it operates. My view is, however, that starting today and moving forward, we have a different flavor of government than we have had in the past. And the question is whether we'll like that flavor of government and whether it has within it the kinds of offsetting powers that will create a dynamic tension that is good for all of us.
And the fact that the government that we have known is in flux, right? It's in transition. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Oh, baby, it's still you I'm thinking of. Don't be cruel. Ooh. To a heart that's true. Don't be cruel. Ooh. To a heart that's true. I don't want no other love. Oh, baby, it's still you I'm. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is here. Sandy, the music?
The king. You know, there's been talk about the immunity decision essentially anointing monarchical powers. So, I'm just playing music by the king.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that's why we all need to get registered to vote and, you know, stop crying and moaning and all this kind of stuff, but get out and vote. Voting is the only power that we have over the big corporations. It's one person, one vote. That's all they get. That's all we get. So everybody get out and vote for democracy. Be a democracy warrior. Don't be someone that, you know, sitting back and just pointing fingers and saying this has to happen. Get off your butt and go out and knock on five doors and get people to vote for the policies of the Democratic Party, because those are the policies of democracy. Second, these people that call in, they're on the Republican side, or I wouldn't call them Republicans anymore, but the Trumpster side. They don't realize it, but as time goes on, if Donald Trump does become elected, and as the whole government starts to shut down and the three branches of government shut down, and we only have an authoritarian dictator, they're not safe either. Their children aren't safe. If they have any children that may not fit into the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant area, even those people in the Jewish with Hitler were not safe. So just remember that, you know, as we all are here to fight together right now, as the powers increase of the authoritarian branch of government, where it becomes one branch, just remember, you're not safe either. So let's stop this cascade, this glacier from coming down the thing, and try to figure out a way to get money out of politics, because that's been the biggest issue. And I've said that now for how many years? Get money out. We have got to get money out of politics. It is, I know everyone thinks it's an unbelievable feat, but you know what? If Hillary Clinton would have been elected, she would have put Supreme Court justices in there that would have actually overturned Citizens United. And, I don't think half the people or three-fourths of the people in this country know that we even have three branches of government. I think they already think the president is probably the most important thing, because that's all they hear on TV. The president is someone that just signs the legislation into law. The most important part is honestly the House, because the House actually brings up bills, and that's actually where the spending actually occurs, or where you're going to actually get the proposal from. The Senate is votes on things.
So Tom, short of giving the civics lesson to the listeners, you know, you have been out front in talking about the things that have occurred and the impact of those things, and warning about what could happen. Sandy gave a rendition early on about where we are and how far down the road we've gone. Your thoughts on those things?
I just think that, like I said, you know, I'm sorry, but people, and I'm not saying these people, because I'm talking about people in this category, like a CJ and like a Dave and like a Gary and these people, I'm sorry, they're not billionaires. You can take a 10 millionaire, a person that makes $10 million, which I know many millionaires here in California. I'm sorry, they're not even, they're closer to the person that is homeless on the street in terms of their income versus a billionaire. A billionaire is $100 million. So everyone.
No, actually, a billionaire is $1,000 million.
Thousand.
Wow.
Million. Exactly. Wow. So, I mean, people need to really stop and think about what $1 billion really, truly is.
Yeah, that's.
And how it is that anybody needs that kind of money. Gary, I'm a small business owner like you. You run a heating and air conditioning company. I run an advertising company. And you know what? Hey. I believe in the mom and pop industry of this country, and I believe in democracy.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Oh, hi, good morning. And I've been listening to this all back and forth, and I realize that this government of ours, this democracy of ours, isn't the best, has not never been the best shining star for all the people. I'm talking all the people. But it's the best that we can do, and at least we try. This current court confirmation, or whatever you want to call it, giving the president complete immunity is wrong. No one should ever be above the law. And this is a country by the people, for the people. We cannot forget that. And if we lose this, this is just going to turn into an authoritative government. People will still survive, but they will not have the rights and the ability that they have right now at this present time. So people have to think about this and think about this hard. And thank you, Sandy, for all your expertise, because I'm learning things about this government that I never knew from you, and I applaud you, and keep on going so that we learn and we know what to expect.
Hey, Susan, I echo those sentiments. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I will say to you, I will ask you, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. In the history of our nation, the fact that this discussion about presidential immunity has to be brought up now, I think it's kind of telling, because all the different presidents that have been there, that this comes up with a guy who's not even president.
Well, you know,
it says something.
Well, I saw an article that talked about something that I've been talking about for months now, which is norms. Okay. The Supreme Court decision still is relying on a president who will act within norms. Justice Sotomayor describes some what seem like outlandish possibilities. You know, the president orders a SEAL team to assassinate. So that's way outside the norm, right? But we have someone running for office who daily operates and throws away norms, right? In fact, one of the things that is his cachet is the fact that he disdains all norms and tests the edge of every envelope. And it's that very kind of person who could exercise through this power of the immunity, particularly in a second term where you're not running for re-election again, you're simply trying to do whatever it is you're trying to do, might exercise powers in some ways that would be way outside the bounds of norms. So, you know, I think one of the problems we have is that the norms have been thrown away. You know, Richard Nixon resigned the presidency because he understood that the president was subject to prosecution, and he didn't even contemplate that he would be able to get around the notion that if he ordered the Watergate break-in, that he would be able to avoid prosecution based on some notion of official function. I think he could have avoided it if this decision had been rendered prior to Watergate.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is turning up the pressure on state lawmakers to release $125 million for PFAS pollution cleanup. Lawmakers counter the governor vetoed their plan to spend that money. Evers is making stops around the state, saying something needs to be done about the harmful chemicals turning up in Wisconsin's water supply. Minnesota is incentivizing people to buy electric bicycles. Lena Reynolds is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She says an e-bike's climate impact is 93% lower than fossil-fueled cars.
Renewables generate the largest share of Minnesota's electricity. So, you know, riding an e-bike is even more sustainable in Minnesota than it would be in other states where fossil fuels are a larger portion of the electricity mix.
Michigan just adopted a similar program. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A decision on what the city will do about the vacancy on the city council may come today as the Judiciary and Administration Committee meets. District 5, which includes UW La Crosse, has been vacant since May 21st. City Council President Chris Kahlo didn't appoint a replacement because he wanted incoming students at UW La Crosse to have a chance to run for the seat. Mayor Mitch Reynolds said that he didn't want to see the district go unrepresented that long. The committee will consider resolutions to either appoint a new member or hold a special election next spring. Governor Tony Evers visited western Wisconsin to push for the state legislature to release funding for dealing with PFAS contamination in drinking water. During his stops across the state, Evers once again called on the Joint Finance Committee to release $125 million in funding. Republicans who control the committee and legislature said that due to vetoes by Evers, they can't release the funding. Evers is suing Republicans to release the money, which was approved in the biennial budget signed a year ago.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As predicted, Inside Out 2 became the fastest animated film ever to reach $1 billion in global sales. The film is a hit with parents and kids alike. It's been number one at the box office for 3 weeks in a row. If it keeps up this pace, it will pass The Incredibles 2 as the highest-grossing animated film ever. Inside Out 2 is the 11th animated film to cross the $1 billion mark. Eight of them have been from Disney Pixar. Cha-ching. Michael J. Fox continues to be an inspiration despite dealing with Parkinson's disease. The former Family Ties and Back to the Future star joined Coldplay to jam on stage at the Glastonbury Festival. If that weren't cool enough, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin introduced Fox as the guy who punched Biff in Back to the Future was one of his inspirations in becoming a musician. Michael J. Fox has been battling Parkinson's disease since his diagnosis in 1991. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today into this evening. Our high today, 76, with wind out of the south at 15 to 25. The wind will back off a bit by later this afternoon. Tonight, clearing, our low 63. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden addresses the nation on presidential immunity. We'll have all the coverage. We'll also see whether or not he's had SEAL Team 6 on speed dial this whole time.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you, Sandy, I was asking you, during the break, as we watch these things unfold, and there's a presidential election hanging in the balance, as we talk about this, and there's a segment of the population that looks at Donald Trump and says, "That's my guy. He's the guy who's going to fix this broken system that's the American government. He, because he sees it, he understands it better than most, and in his simplistic way, he says, well, we just need to get rid of all those things, and I'm going to, I know how we can make this better." And yet people are willing to accept that.
Well, I think he's the embodiment of what is essentially one of the cultural wars we're experiencing is a cultural war against the elite, okay, the intellectual elite. And I think that there's a general view that government, big government, is inhabited by intellectual elites, okay, or that it is controlled by, the thought processes of it are controlled by the intellectual elites. And that the implementation of the rules and regulations, the things that seem to get in the way, the things that make it harder to build a golf course over here, or the things that make it restrict what can come out of your smokestack, or what it is you might have to do before you can carry out a real estate development, or the safety that needs to be imposed on the workers that work at your site, all of that is inconvenient and can be meddlesome, right? You have inspectors coming to check it out. And people don't like to be regulated, but we all should understand that regulations are in place for a good reason. And when before they were in place, before the New Deal, before the 1930s, when people began to recognize the dangers and issues associated with the environment that was created by the Industrial Revolution, we had a lot of problems. And those problems are dealt with through government agencies. But this is all the deep state. This is this concept that the war is against the deep state. The deep state are all these inconveniences that get imposed by government in every direction. And I think one of Donald Trump's main the attractiveness of him to a whole large number of people is the fact that he is carrying out a war against the deep state. And he promises to do something about it. There's no clear policy involved here other than the fact that, as far as he's concerned, making America great again also involves getting rid of all these inconveniences that you might imagine government imposes on you, including, for instance, the IRS, getting in the way of the IRS chasing you down. He is promising to the people who are upset about current circumstances, a solution. The people who are upset about the change in the racial mix of America, the people who are upset about the way government might get in their way when they want to do something. All of these things are what he's the anti-establishment person.
But okay? he is an establishment person himself.
Well,
Sandy, here's what I don't understand, and then we'll go to the phone lines. So that deep state that the people are talking about that gets in the way of the guy who wants to build a golf course. Well, the guy who wants to build a golf course isn't the average everyday citizen. That doesn't impact or affect the average everyday citizen. The guy who wants to build homes.
But let's say you work in a lumber mill and you've got these annoying guards that have to be on the saw that you're working. And you know you could work that saw much faster if you didn't have that guard there. Many of the people who are being protected by such things want to take that guard away. As far as they're concerned, they're annoyed by the fact that some government official is saying you got to have that guard on that saw.
You're talking to a guy who worked in the plant.
Yeah.
Who thought that the safety things that were put in place for me and my generation, the guys before me. Many of them had lost fingers and arms and hands. And so they didn't have that. And so those rules, OSHA, that came in to oversee it, protected me and my generation, because the guys before us couldn't hear. Earplugs weren't mandatory. Safety glasses, safety shoes, none of those things existed. And so the people before us caught hell.
My point exactly. These government regulations are there for good purpose, but there are plenty of people who find them inconvenient. Okay, if you own the business, it's expensive. If you operate in the business, it's inconvenient. So I'm just saying that plenty of people are inconvenienced by government, or find government to pay, or they run into government as the game warden, the guy that stops them and checks their boat and wants to know what they've got in it. I mean, government, when it operates, kind of, you get a ticket on the highway. You're there. That's a safety thing, right?
Yeah.
We've had ever since the 1950s, a whole lot of people, particularly from the business sector, who find the apparatus of government to be altogether inconvenient. And we have now molded a social movement since Ronald Reagan, which has sanctified the notion of a deep state, which is the enemy, which we need to fight, and we need to fight it tooth and nail. And Chevron is part of the Chevron decision, withdrawing the Chevron president, is part of that. And much of Ronald Reagan and his cultural battle is with that, because he's running against the deep state. He's running against the culture, the elite intellectuals. It's a standard populist fight.
So, Sandy, for those of us who are on the freeway on the 4th going to a place to see our loved ones, we don't want to be on the Autobahn. There's some folk who do want to be on the Autobahn, but the regulations and the laws say, hey, this is not the Autobahn. You yourself, you want to go 100 miles an hour, it's not safe for the rest of us. That's what the law does. It benefits the majority, not the minority.
Well, and the FAA makes airplanes safe.
Yes.
All of these things have a purpose. And however, there are those who find it very inconvenient, okay, to be regulated and restricted, but we have in place checks and balances with respect to that, so that Congress's actions are supported by the law, okay, and the operation of agencies are supported by congressional law, and all of this existed, but we, in spite of all that, we still have this deep state battle. And I believe that Donald Trump represents an embodiment of the war against the deep state, the cultural, racial tensions and war, as well as the whole notion of the urban intellectual elite, okay? And all of those things smack of the old-time populist battles.
Let's go to Jeff from Green Bay. Hey, Jeff, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Nice to meet you. I'm an HVAC guy, too, so I understand all these things you're talking about.
Right.
And as soon as the government goes away, what's the first thing people say? Somebody's got to do something about it.
Yes.
Anyways, get back on the subject. Is it time for military to be in our politics, like a different form of the branch, somebody who has a rule that he follows to maintain order?
You mean like a Dwight Eisenhower?
Yeah. I think it's time for more structure than this free-for-all government.
Oh. Well, you mean an actual redesign of the government. I'd be interested in how you could imagine that would operate, because the words you just said sounded much more like some kind of autocracy, where the president is a commander in chief who then commands and is in control of far more than he currently is, which is something that I think is being pursued by one of the aspirants to the office right now. And I find that to be a very worrisome thing. I was saying to Earl that during my lifetime, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, there was a great deal more political interest in protecting the power of Congress and making sure that the president and unilateral power was constrained by the laws, by the courts, and that Congress was in charge. And now we have Congress that has paralyzed itself. And I think we have people deciding, you know what, with a paralyzed Congress, I guess maybe what I want to do is find that strong arm leader that's going to make things happen, that will make things happen like I want them to happen. But it's that last clause that should be worrisome to everyone, because like I want them to happen will be different for Tom, Dick, or Mary as compared to, for instance, the wealthy.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Jeff. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, Earl, first of all, congratulations on your interview with the president. I cannot wait to see it tomorrow. I'm off, so I'm going to definitely look forward to seeing that.
Well, thank you.
Please ask him what he's doing to shore up our elections, because with all this distraction, there's certainly plans in the background to mess with the election.
No
but
question.
Anyway, I agree with Sandy's premises, but let's sprinkle some reality on it now, okay? He's a liar. He's tanked every business he had. His intelligence level is, I don't know where it is, but it's not where it needs to be. And really what you see at these rallies and what you see following him from one place to the next are people who are thinking that he's going to make their life better. He's not. He didn't care about them. He didn't care about the American people. He cares about himself and how rich he can get and how close he can get to Putin's kind of wealth. That's all he cares about. So we can talk about the deep state. We can talk about all these, you know, wonderful things that, you know, that are premise based. But other than that, I don't see it. And he's not going to make their life better. And guess what? They're going to be the ones burning the Trump flags as they're running at the White House. That's my theory.
Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Brendan? Well, absolutely. I agree that Trump is a tool of all. He's an opportunist. He simply wants to be powerful for his own purposes and is willing to do and abide by whatever it is necessary that he do or abide by to obtain the power. So I think rather than himself being a populist or an anti-establishment person, he's simply an opportunist, and he's being used by all of those people who find those other concepts to be convenient. I think his anti-establishment instincts are there. I think he's never really been accepted into the establishment for good purpose and good reason. And I think that's where he stands. But there's no motive behind what he wants to do that reflects the Commonwealth and the to be beneficial to the Commonwealth.
Brendan?
Right. Yeah. I think you have to, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have to create your happiness. The government isn't there to do that. The government is there to keep you safe and provide you those things that we pay taxes for. That's it. And these people that go to these rallies think that the IRS is going to disappear. It's not. He's going to need every tax dollar he can get because of the things he's planning on doing. He's going to have to pay for some of it somehow. And he's going to end up like crashing the economy with his, you know, with his terrible plans. And we'll all be the worse for it. I'm finding it hard to find anything to celebrate on this 4th of July as I watch the New York fireworks go up.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening, as always. 844-967-2789. Our phone lines are open. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
But I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air. Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, Sandy, when we first began the show and this was playing, I said to you, hey, did you make a mistake? And you clearly kind of stated. Now I'm going to ask you at the end of the show, did you make a mistake playing this?
No, I was done purposefully because I worry that the Supreme Court decision on immunity comes closer to putting a crown on the head of our president than we ever would have wanted. Since 1776, when the revolution started, and when we fought for independence from, so we wouldn't have to sing that song. My hope is that the next wave of leadership can step in soon, sooner than later, because we've wrought this. The baby boomers have wrought where we are today, okay? We can only take responsibility for the situation that exists in every part of our society, because we've been in charge ever since 1975. The baby boomers have called the shots. And we've continued to call the shots, regardless of the fact that we've probably all moved closer to our dotage than our youth. And so the system we have, the problems we have, the direction we're going, can only be, I think, blamed upon ourselves. And what we need to do is let the next generations step forward and start running this ship, because I think they would have different ideas and they would have different fears and different aspirations than are being exercised by those who are, for instance, in the Supreme Court today and making the decisions they're making, or who are running for president, and the aspirant to the past president who's running for office and his aspirations. I think the Democratic Party could do well to be moving on. I think that what we need to do is get on with demonstrating a purpose that is related to the next generations.
So, Sandy, the corporations, for the most part, that transition has happened. The leaders of those major corporations aren't baby boomers as much anymore. They are brighter, younger people with different ideas who are running the corporations today. So we've seen that transition.
Well,
is it more difficult to do it politically?
Apparently. I can't tell you exactly why, but apparently it is. I worry that what we've wrought is this revolution that has happened sort of under the radar until suddenly it appears on the horizon and is visible. It's very visible to me now. And I realize that the democracy that we're leaving behind is going to be different than the one we inherited. And we need to be careful about that. We need to nourish and take care of the democracy that was handed to us, and we should leave it in a better situation than we found it. And I fear that we're not doing that. We've failed in that regard in so many ways.
Let's go to Bill from O'Connor Wall. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Good morning, and thank you for giving me a place to speak. I never thought in my three quarters of a century of life here on Earth, or the hundreds of years of the history of my country, would I see our Supreme Court assist a convicted felon to be part of the office of the presidency. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Susan, quickly.
The only thing I wanted to say regarding Chevron, what we tend to forget is the Love Canal and what that did to millions of people and children, parents watching their children die. This is one of the reasons why these things were put in place. We don't put this in place to make people wealthy or to hamper people. We put these things in place to save lives. And that's all that I want to say.
Hey, Susan, you said a mouthful. You know, I want to say this as tomorrow I am going to get an opportunity to, you know, interview the President of the United States on these airways. And I still maintain that one of the reasons that I'm getting that opportunity is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And a conversation like we had today could not be had without the depth of his understanding of our government, his intellect, and the fact that we have an opportunity to have him on Tuesdays and Fridays on these airways is monumental. Sandy is not a guy who blows his own horn. But I know his resume. I know his background. I know the kinds of places that he's been in on the upper level of intellectual conversations as it relates to our government and business. And I am honored beyond words to have him as my co-host on these airwaves twice a week. I don't take it lightly, Sandy. I'm just an average guy.
I'm blushing. It doesn't show on the radio.
I'm just an average guy, Sandy. But I think that what you and I have together is a mutual respect for one another. And my perspective of having an opportunity that I've learned and grown from, you know, sitting with you and taking counsel from you, and it's led to. After all, me having an opportunity to interview President Joe Biden on these airways on tomorrow, couldn't have done that without you. And part of the discussion I will be having in the short time that we have the President of the United States on these airways tomorrow will be with you and in my mind. And, you know, clearly I'm not going to be able to sit down and break bread with the President of the United States. So if we get a question in, it'll be from the perspective of what I know you would probably want me to ask.
Well, it is an exciting opportunity for the network and the station to, you know, to have direct connection to the President. The office of the President is something, right? It's something regardless of who's sitting there, although I have to say I much prefer the current resident than some others we've had.
All right. President Joe Biden will be on the Earl Ingram Show sometime tomorrow. We'll let you know his details come in this afternoon. Up next, Jane Mattner, Mattner on Air, and Greg Bott. Thank you all for listening. See you tomorrow. Thank you, Calvin.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll discuss the implications of the Supreme Court's ruling for Jack Smith's continuing case in 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
going. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
You are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's that's unbelievable. Really impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.